This morning our scripture reading is from Colossians chapter 1 and then also one verse from 2 Timothy chapter 2. These words are printed on page 12 of your worship guide. I invite you to follow along with me as I read, and I do invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. I would remind you, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord does indeed stand forever. Let us hear the word of the living God. Speaking of Jesus Christ from Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And then from 2 Timothy chapter 2. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. This is the word of the Lord. I wonder, what do you do to remember the important things in your life? How do you make sure you don't forget? Perhaps to do an important task, or maybe bring an essential item. Maybe your license or your passport or the plane tickets if you're going on a trip. You know, some people make lists. Maybe they tie a string around their finger. Maybe they write on their hands, their arms. Maybe they keep a calendar, those ancient physical calendars that you can actually write on, or maybe use their phones. There are all kinds of apps today to help us remember things, make sure we don't forget. Maybe you simply say, "Hey Siri," or "OK Google, remind me." Those are all helpful things. But remembering is an essential part of daily living. But we forget things all the time, don't we? From the little mundane things that don't make much of an impact on our lives. I remember a time years ago when our kids were all still young and little, and we were on our way to church, and this was when we were at Westminster. It was going to be close. I think we might have made it on time, but we were pushing it. And we're on our way a couple miles down the road, and Amy says, "Troy, we have to go back." And I looked over, and I burst out laughing because immediately I knew why we had to go back. My dear wife still had her slippers on. In the rush, some of you can relate, in the rush of getting all the children ready, she had forgotten to get herself ready. But that's a little mundane thing, right? Not a big deal. But we forget important things as well with far greater consequences. We may forget to return a book or pay a bill, and we might have to pay a fine. Might only be 10 cents, or maybe it'll be $100. We might forget a birthday or an anniversary, and then we have hurt someone that we love that's dear to us. My senior year of high school, in the spring, I forgot to pay a $35 registration fee to Millersville University. And not only did I lose thousands of dollars in the scholarship that I had, but I lost my place at the school. I couldn't go there. Had to find somewhere else to go late in the game. Huge ramifications in my life. Remembering is essential to our daily living. But remembering is also essential to our spiritual health and well-being. And the scriptures make this clear. It's all throughout the scriptures. And this is one reason why nearly every Sunday when I welcome you to our gathered worship service, I will say something like, we are here to remember who God is and what he has done for us. It is vital that we remember our triune God. For if we forget him, if we live unmindful of who he is, of what he's done for us, of who we are in relation to him, there will be great consequences. The scriptures make it clear that remembering the great acts of God is essential to the spiritual well-being of God's children. Consider the Old Testament Passover ceremony as one example. When God's people, Israel, celebrated Passover, it was intended to help them remember how the Lord rescued them from the slavery and oppression that they were experiencing in Egypt when he struck down the Egyptians, but he spared his own people. When Moses gave the instructions for that ceremony in Exodus chapter 12, he explained how this Passover ceremony would be a prime opportunity to teach their children to remember what God had done, because their children would ask them, what does this ceremony mean? It was meant for them to remember what the Lord had done, to lead them to worship the Lord. Or we might think of Joshua chapter 4, where we read the history of Joshua leading God's people to cross the Jordan River. And as they went, a man from each of the 12 tribes of Israel was to take a stone from that dry land they crossed through the river and put it and place it in the place where they would lodge that night. And this would be a sign, a memorial for them in the days, once again, when their children would ask them, what do these stones mean? They would remember that event, the great rescue and deliverance, the great works of the Lord, that he was the one who led them. He cut off the waters so they could cross safely. They didn't get across the Jordan through their own efforts, their own wisdom, their own strength. It was the Lord who saved them and delivered them. Well, why this emphasis on remembering? Why does God give us things to help us remember? He does so because God's children are a forgetful people. Because we so often forget the wonderful things that God has done. Right now in the church calendar, we're in the season of Advent. Many of you know that Advent means coming. It's a time when we as God's people are encouraged to remember the first coming of our Savior Jesus Christ, and also to remember the promise of his second coming. But I wonder, is it possible in this very season that is designed to help us remember Jesus Christ, is it possible that we are forgetting him? Or that we have forgotten him? And I think the answer we all would probably humbly admit is sadly yes. And it's not something that just happens out there, outside the walls of the church, outside the family of God, with people who don't know and love Jesus. It happens here with us, with you, with me. Sadly, it happens with God's people. We can get caught up in all the distractions of the season and we forget our Savior. And then we see here Paul's words to Timothy. A simple statement. They're a helpful reminder for us. If we will heed them, they will serve us well, not only at this time of year, but all year long. And we must heed them as God's people, because these words are not a mere suggestion. Oh, here's one idea. Something maybe you want to try. See if it works for you. That's not what this is. These words are a command from God himself. God tells us, remember Jesus Christ. And that word, remember, is a continual act that we do. It's something that we engage in over and over again, an ongoing practice, a daily habit. We are to keep on remembering Jesus Christ. It's not just a once and done thing. We are always to keep in mind, always think about Jesus Christ. Keep on remembering. So this is the command that we have. And this morning, I want to obey this command with you. I want to exhort you to remember Jesus Christ the rest of this Advent season and every moment of every day that the Lord gives you life. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember who he is and why he came. Paul says in 2 Timothy, and he's writing to a young pastor, so we might think this is very strange. Do you need to tell a young pastor to remember Jesus Christ? But that's exactly what he tells him to do. He says, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. And he's pointing to the fact that Jesus is truly God. Jesus is God himself in the flesh. The scriptures tell us in the book of Colossians that we read, chapter 1, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, that in Christ all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. In the Gospel of John, it begins by telling us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Jesus later in that same Gospel would say, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." So we remember that Jesus Christ is truly God. He is God Himself. The baby born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, whose birth we remember, celebrate at this time of season, this Advent Christmas season, this is no ordinary baby. It's no mere human. It's not one who would grow simply to be a holy prophet, a good teacher, an upstanding person that we want to emulate. No, this is God Himself in the flesh. And we must remember that. We must remember who He is. So I want you to consider with me two aspects of who Jesus is this morning from this passage in Colossians. First, we see that Jesus Christ is our Creator. Colossians 1 tells us that by Him, by Jesus, all things were created. It echoes the Gospel of John. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. Psalm 19 tells us the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. He is the Creator. So let's remember together for a moment just some of the wonder of the work of Jesus, our Creator. One example, the diameter of the sun is 864,000 miles. Imagine that. The diameter of the sun, 864,000 miles. It's 100 times greater than that of the earth. So if the sun was a hollow ball and you wanted to fill it with planets the size of planet Earth, it would hold 1.3 million planet Earths within the sun. The brightest star in our sky, Sirius, is twice as big as the sun. So if you wanted to fill that star with planet Earth, 2.5 million planets, the size of the planet that we live on, would fit inside that star. Betelgeuse, one of the stars visible in the constellation Orion, is 300 times larger than our sun. So you could fit 400 million planet Earths within that star. On Thanksgiving Day, we went to my in-laws, and Amy's mom had put these jars of candy, I think there were five different ones, filled them with candy and had papers. Guess how many are in there, right? Some of you have played that game. I didn't win a single one of them. It's ridiculous. But I think the greatest one had maybe 500-something. Imagine a jar of candy filled with 400 million, I think they were Reese's Pieces or something like that. 400, we can't even think how big that would be. But here's a star in the universe that could hold 400 million planet Earths within inside it. We can't even fathom the majesty and wonder of that size. Or another example, light travels at 186,000 miles a second. That's 670 million miles per hour. So if you could travel at that rate of speed, you could travel around the Earth 7.5 times in 1 second. 1 second, 7.5 times. If you would travel at that rate from the Earth, you would reach that star, Sirius, within 8.5 years. It would take you 8.5 years, traveling 670 miles per hour to get there. Betelgeuse, it would take you 522 years to get there, traveling 670 million miles per hour. If you would travel just across our own galaxy, the Milky Way, it would take you 100,000 years. To travel across our one galaxy at the speed of light. And as you made that journey, 100,000 years long, imagine the children with you. Are we there yet? No, and we won't be there yet. But imagine that. If you made that journey, you would find 100 billion stars. And that's one galaxy. And there are hundreds of billions more out there. There are billions more out there. It's incomprehensible. It's mind-boggling. No wonder the psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The work of Jesus, our Creator. And there's this wonderful passage in Isaiah, where Isaiah says, "Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Hundreds of billions of stars, and Jesus, our Creator, brings them out one by one, and he calls them each by name. And so when you open your Bible to Psalm 8 and you read, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you care for him?" And you can understand why the psalmist would write that in wonder. But then you think, Jesus is our Creator. And he is mindful of us. The one who formed those stars and calls them each by name, numbers we can't even comprehend, knows us and cares for us and loves us. Not only did he create the expanse of the heavens, he created you and he created me. He made all people in his own image. Jesus Christ, this little baby that was born in Bethlehem, made it all. He created everything. The Bible says in Colossians that not only did Christ create all things, but all things were created for him. So, beloved, we have been created to remember Jesus Christ. We have been created for his glory. Jesus Christ made you. He formed and fashioned you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He has given you life. So every breath you take, you owe to Jesus. He made you. And so by right of creation, you belong to him. Jesus Christ says of each one of us, "You are mine. You belong to me. Remember me." So we are to remember Jesus Christ, our Creator, our Maker. We belong to him. We were made for him, to worship and adore him, to love him and delight in him, to display his greatness and to make his glories known. But we forget him. We forget him, don't we? We forget Jesus Christ, our Creator. We forget him when we live as if our lives are our own. Our time is our own. Our bodies are our own. We forget him when we believe and act as if we have independent, autonomous authority over our bodies. When we think and act as if they are ours to do with as we please. We ignore the sexual ethics of God's word and do what is right in our own eyes. We act as if we are free to look at whatever we want, whenever we want. As if we are free to live with whomever we want, whenever we want. To pursue intimacy with whomever we want, whenever we want. We act as if we have a desire, then it must be fulfilled. And beloved, it's easy for us when we think about these things to look outside the church and condemn those who do not know and love Jesus for the way they are living. But let's not do that today. Let's not do that. That's not why God made us his people. That we would usurp his role as judge. Instead, let's hold up the mirror and look at ourselves. Are we walking in obedience to Jesus, our Creator? Have you personally forgotten Jesus, your Creator? Is it your aim to honor God in your body, knowing that he tells you your body is not your own? For not only did Jesus create your body and give it to you as a temple of his Holy Spirit, but he also bought you when he gave his own body in death on the cross to pay for your sins. So your body is not your own. You belong to him. You are to honor God in your body. But we fail to remember Jesus Christ as our Creator when we give no thought to what that means, and instead we simply do what we want to do. What the world around us celebrates and encourages and entices us to do, what makes us feel good, what we think will bring us comfort or pleasure or satisfaction. I wonder, how often do we remember Jesus Christ, our Creator, in such a way that it determines what we eat or drink? Whether we exercise or rest, work or sleep, pursue intimacy or abstinence, or even what we feed our minds. We're to love the Lord our God with all our mind. What are we feeding our minds? Are we showing that we have remembered our Creator, that we're made for Him? Remember Jesus Christ, the baby born on Christmas Day is your Creator. You belong to Him and you were made for Him. You've been given the gift of life, created by God for God, to live that life and the body He created, to glory in Him alone and to make His glories known. Jesus is your Creator. Well, second, we also see that Jesus is our King. He's our King. He has supremacy in our lives. As the sun is the center of our solar system, and all the planets revolve around the sun as the blazing center, so Jesus is to be the blazing center of our lives. All we are, all that we do is to revolve around Him. Paul writes in Colossians 1, Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. Now, when it says that Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, that does not mean that He was the first to be raised from the dead. We understand that. We see how Jesus Himself raised Lazarus from the dead. It's another sign that this is not a mere man that was walking the earth. There's something uniquely different about Him. God in the flesh, the only one who can raise from the dead. Firstborn, no, does not mean that He was the first to be raised. It here has two concepts attached to it. One sense is firstborn as the first fruits of a harvest to come. So Jesus has paved the way. Because He rose, all of us who are united to Him by faith, we too also will rise. Jesus as the firstborn from the dead is the King of the kingdom of God, the head of the body, the most preeminent among all His brothers and sisters who will follow Him. And so thus, firstborn means the highest rank, the first in rank, the most important, we might say. Because without His resurrection, there could be no resurrection for us. There would be no hope for us. But He has been raised. The firstborn from the dead, God has given His own Son, Jesus, the highest rank. He's to have the supremacy, the preeminence. We might say Jesus is to occupy first place or top priority in our lives. He is to be the blazing center. Everything revolves around Him. Everything points to Him. Everything is for Him and for His glory. Our families are to revolve around Him, be centered on Him. Our marriages, our children revolve around Him, centered on Him. Our singleness, centered around Him. Our jobs, our mission, our ministries, centered around Him, revolving around Him. Our education, our intellect, our time, our money, our giving, everything for Him and for His glory. Our conversations, our pleasures, our eating, our play, our activities, our athletics, centered around Him. What we watch, all art, all music, all of those endeavors we may be engaged in, even how we celebrate Christmas. Everything to revolve around Him as He and He alone holds the supremacy in our lives. But again, we forget Jesus our King, don't we? We allow other things, other people, to hold that place of supremacy and preeminence. And how silly that would be if we had a visible picture of it to say to Jesus, could you just move aside? I would like to put something else. I would like to be there. Or this person I love, I want to put there. Or the latest phone I would want to put there. Seems ridiculous. But isn't that what we do? We allow other things, other people to have supremacy in our lives as if this is what we live our lives for. As if this person or this thing is the king of our lives. Far too often we fail to live our lives centered around Jesus, and instead we act as if we have supremacy, as if we are the king. We compartmentalize our lives. We think Jesus is only for a few hours on Sunday. Somehow He has no effect on the rest of our daily living. We forget that all of life belongs to Him. There's not one speck in all of creation, not one aspect of life, no matter how trivial we may think it is, that does not belong to Jesus Christ, who is supreme over all. Beloved, who is on the throne of your life? Who or what has the place of preeminence? Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the one who is preeminent. Jesus is the King, the one who rules and reigns, the one that we are to obey and serve. And so we can remember Jesus Christ when we reflect on that and we ask searching questions of our lives in the hopes that they will change the way we think and live. Such as, how does the way I spend my time show that Jesus is my King? That He is the treasure of my life? How do the clothes that I wear, the food that I eat, the music that I listen to show that Jesus is my King and He is the one I am living for? Or the movies I watch, or how I spend my money, or how I plan for retirement, or how I live in retirement. How does it show that Jesus is my King, that He is my treasure? How I treat my children and my neighbors and the poor and those in need. Is that showing that Jesus is my King and treasure and all of my life revolves around Him? How do all these daily words and deeds show that Christ is supreme? And how might they help others find their treasure in Jesus Christ? Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, so that in all things He might be preeminent, so that He might be the blazing center of your life. We must remember who Jesus is. We also must remember what He has done. We must remember that Jesus Christ is our only Savior. That Jesus is truly God and truly man sent to save. 2 Timothy 2 says, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, the offspring of David. And the fact that Jesus is descended from David indicates His physical lineage. It points us to His humanity, yes, but it also points us to why He came and who He is. It reminds us of the promise of His coming. That this is the one that God had promised would come to save and rescue His people. This is the Messiah, the Anointed One. And so part of the wonder of Christmas is God being born. The Messiah coming to earth. The baby in the manger was truly God, and yet God humbled Himself and became a man. And because He has done that, we know that He serves as our sympathetic high priest, our merciful high priest. He knows all our suffering. He knows all our pain. He has experienced our temptations. He is able to help us. He is sympathetic towards our needs. He has compassion on us. And this is great comfort to us as God's people. But we are not spiritually healthy if we forget that. If we fail to go to Him for comfort and help in our times of need. We must remember who He is. But we also remember that because Jesus became a man, not only is He able to sympathize with us, but He also is able to act as our substitute. He's able to take our punishment upon Himself. He's able to die in our place. And this points us to the reason that He came. Not only who He is, but why He came. We remember who Jesus is. We remember why He came. What He has done for us. He came to reconcile us to God. To bring us everlasting peace. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus proves not only that He was and is God, it's clear proof of that, but it also proved that His sacrifice on the cross was effective. It was sufficient. It was, God says through the resurrection of Christ, that you can be reconciled to Me because of what My Son has done. He has risen for your justification. His resurrection shows us that Christ accomplished His purpose. He succeeded in what He came to do. So we must remember not only who Jesus is, but why He came. And He came to save his people from their sins. That's what his name means. Jesus saves. Yahweh will save. He came to save us, to seek and save the lost, to give his life as a ransom for many. In other words, he was born to die. Born to die. He came to save us, and in order to do that, he had to die. The scriptures say, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Jesus willingly came and willingly laid down his life knowing that. So we cannot remember Jesus Christ. We cannot celebrate the first coming of Jesus without also remembering and considering his death. And in Colossians, we're told that Jesus came to provide reconciliation. That God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things through Christ by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is why he came. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that it was for our sake. It was for our sake that God made his own son, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us so that in him we could become the righteousness of God. So we must remember that Jesus came to take on our sin. And to clothe us with his righteousness so that our relationship with God could be restored, so that we truly can enjoy peace with God. So that's not just something that, that's something we do every Sunday at proclamation. What does that mean? What do we have because Christ came? We who are at enmity with God are now his friends. And we truly have peace, the peace that Jesus came to bring. But we forget Jesus Christ when we forget why he came. He didn't come just to heal the sick, to care for the poor and the outcast, to preach a message of love. He did all those things and more, but above all, Jesus was born to die. He was the Lamb of God who came to take away our sins, to offer his own body on the cross as that once-for-all sacrifice that would bring us back to God. He came to die so that whether we are healthy or sick, whether we're rich or poor, whether we are accepted or cast down, our souls can be saved from hell. He came to rescue us from the wrath of God that was on us and that is on us if we fail to remember Jesus Christ and turn to him for salvation. We remember Jesus Christ, beloved, when we remember who he is and what he has done for us. Jesus is your creator. No one else. Jesus, the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, is your creator. You belong to him and him alone. You were made for him. You were made by him. Remember that today and every day. Jesus is your king. He is preeminent. He is supreme. He and he alone. He is the one who reigns and rules over all. He is the one alone who is to be supreme in your life. The blazing center. His is the kingdom and you are the guests. He is the one you serve and obey and represent. May every aspect of your life revolve around him. And Jesus is the only Savior. Think of it. Your Creator and your King came to be your Savior, to lay down his life for you. Who else does that? He is the only one, the only Savior, truly God, truly man, the God who made you and loved you and gave himself for you so that, beloved, when you do forget him, he does not forget you. What a glorious Savior. When you forget that he made you and you ignore him and rebel against him and live with your own purpose and design in mind, he does not forget you. When you forget that he is your king and you push him aside and you put someone or something else on the throne of your life, he in his mercy and his grace does not forget you. Why? Because he is also your perfect and your wonderful Savior who laid down his life for you. He came because you need a Savior, because he knows his own people are forgetful people. And we need a rescue, and we need redemption and we need deliverance, and He willingly gives it. So this Advent season, may we remember that Christ came, our Creator, our King, came as our Savior. And may we remember that He is coming again. Beloved, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, will never forget you. And so, as we sang earlier, may we cherish this gift of God well, that ever joy our hearts may fill. And as we are about to sing here in just a moment, may we remember Jesus Christ, who is no longer a stranger. No longer a stranger, but indeed the Son of God of humble birth. And it's not just a true story. It's a beautiful story. And it is the best news that you will ever hear. So we praise His name in all the earth. We hail the King of glory. You want to remember Jesus Christ? Hail Him. Proclaim Him. Worship Him. Cherish Him. Adore Him. Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. It's my privilege to lead us in a time of prayer. I do encourage and invite you to pray along with me in the quietness of your own hearts and minds. Let us pray together.